WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Wayne Cabot.
I'm betting Charlie saw the Son of God standing tall to welcome him home.
Donald Trump Jr., before the tens of thousands filling the 67,000-seat State Farm Arena, the stadium where the Arizona Cardinals play, to honor murdered activist Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump himself is now speaking. Vice President J.D. Vance.
We have watched people justify his murder and celebrate his death. I know that this makes you angry just as it has made me angry. But it is easy in these moments to see only the worst of our fellow man.
Turning Point USA is registering voters at his memorial today in Arizona. Booths are set up with signs that read, "Charlie wants you to register to vote," as directed the crowd dressed in red, white, and blue. This is ABC News. Ahead of tomorrow's UN General Assembly in New York, major American allies announcing today they will officially recognize Palestine as a state. Canada, the UK, Australia, and just now Portugal, too. In Tel Aviv, musician Aidan Legem said that while he believes in the two-state solution for Palestine, this is not the time in dealing with Hamas.
It's going to motivate them to keep the same line, and it's going to normalize terrorism against Israel. So I think in that context, it's a terrible decision.
Tiger trainer Ryan Easley was killed by a tiger this afternoon in Hugo, Oklahoma, a.k.a. Circus City, USA. It happened in front of a live audience. Racing fans were enjoying a day at the track when out of the sky, a small plane made an emergency landing right there on the racetrack at Lime Rock Park, Connecticut. The single-engine Cessna began turning toward the drivers, eventually crashing into a barrier, no serious injuries. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
A busy sports weekend. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports reporting from Cleveland, where it's the Packers against the Browns. We'll have a full recap of the game coming up later tonight. In St. Louis, another dramatic win for the Brewers. They beat the Cardinals 3-2 in 10 innings. Bryce Turang, the hero in this one, driving in the winning run. Brewers catcher William Contreras had to leave the game after getting his hand hit by a bat while behind the plate. X-rays were taken. Manager Pat Murphy.
I was in my office already wanting to play tomorrow.
X-ray?
Yeah. X-ray was negative.
College football, the Badgers upset at their Big Ten home opener yesterday, 27-10 to Maryland. It got so bad, fans in Madison were booing head coach Luke Fickell, chanting "Fire Fickell."
Yeah, I feel what they, you know, I feel what their pain is, you know, but there's nothing that we can do other than keep grinding, keep working. We have to play better.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. We'll see a low around 59. On your Monday, we'll see some fog in the morning, then showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny by the afternoon with a high around 73. For Monday night, partly cloudy, 56. Tuesday, partly sunny, 73.
Currently, 75 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen, and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Celebrate Wisconsin's farming heritage with a special broadcast of the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. We'll learn about the Reisinger family's past and explore their future. We'll also discuss the mental health crisis facing the state's farming community with the Farmer Angel Network. And we'll talk about programs that support farmers across Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Celebrate the legacy of the Reisinger family and families like them Thursday afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hi, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I'm going to give you a little reminder. You got a couple of minutes right now if you do not yet have the Civic Media app.
What's the big deal, Jane?
Today is our final Free Ticket Friday.
Wait, first of all, it's Friday?
It is Friday.
Holy crow. Yep. Okay, that means time to get that Civic Media. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yes. So go to wherever you get your apps. Go to your app store, like Google Play or whatever is your thing.
Yeah.
Look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. That should come up, little CM logo.
Yep.
Okay, got you it. Download that. Download the app.
Got it.
It is free.
It's free.
Oh my gosh. I know, it's amazing. Download the Civic Media app. It is completely free because in just a couple of minutes, see, Greg is doing the example right there. In just a couple of minutes, we are going to give you a keyword.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only enter this Free Ticket Friday contest if you have the Civic Media app.
Correct.
And we want you to be able to take part because we are playing for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Friday's game when the Crew hosts Cincinnati.
If I'm not mistaken, because we are in the very, very latter days of the season, that is the last weekend.
Of the regular season.
Yes. So this is going to be a 3-game series against the Reds. And it's Friday?
Friday.
Friday the 26th.
Yep. Friday night game. Great night.
Great night. Hopefully by that point we will have clinched the division.
Can go and just have a nice relaxing evening watching the Brewers win. But be ready.
Yeah.
It's coming up in just a couple of minutes to text in that keyword. And then you'll have until 11 o'clock to text in that keyword. Tom Hartman will have a different one for you from 11 to 2. And then with Todd Alba, 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. And that is not the only reason to download the Civic Media app.
Well, pray tell, why else, Jane?
Rumor has it
that
there's a new multi-state text-to-win contest starting very soon.
I must have information.
Woo.
That's what we call a tease.
Oh, that's a tease. So you want to have the Civic Media app because today is not the only reason you want to be able to enter.
Mm-hmm.
There are some wonderful and fabulous things coming your way very soon.
And also the app, besides the contest, is great because you can also listen to us anywhere in the world. You can take us with you on the go. Find the station you need to find and listen to WAUK if you want to. And if, you know, we've had people take that app on vacation, listen to our show in other countries,
pretty cool.
On other continents. And it's great to be a part of their lives. So yeah, it's great. You get news. It's just a very, and the great thing is that they're always updating it and they're always giving you more features and
yes. It's
completely absolutely free.
Yes. We're going to be talking to actually one of our sister stations next week. Cause what I love about the app too, is if say you want to listen to one of our music stations around the state.
Yeah.
Cause we have a whole bunch of them.
Correct.
And in Baraboo next week, they're doing this great fundraiser for a local domestic violence shelter. It's a request-a-thon.
Yeah.
So you can call and request your song. But if someone doesn't want you to, if they don't want to hear that song, they can pay a little more and knock your song off. It's great.
I know what I'll do. I'm going to request Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney and Wings because I know Pat Kreitlow will call and pay any amount of money to
not play that. Yeah. But we're going to talk to David Grant about that next week. And again, this is something that you can listen to on the app.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to check out a music program for a couple of hours and get away from the news, you can do that via the Civic Media app. So make sure you have it. You're going to need it very shortly.
Yeah.
Wanted to start off with this, though. What a surprise. Republicans, this from WISN, set to propose sweeping changes to ballot drop boxes ahead of the midterms.
Okay. Few things, Jane.
Sure.
First of all, wasn't it just last year where they had suddenly and out of nowhere embraced the change of other forms of voting that is not on the day in person? Like, drop boxes, mail-in, all that stuff.
You know what comes to mind? Bank your vote.
Yes.
I seem to remember bank your vote.
Bank your vote.
And Brian Schimming, the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party.
Correct.
Was very big on taking advantage. Voting absentee.
Yes.
Voting early. Using drop boxes.
And the experts agree that drop boxes worked in the Republicans' favor last election.
Yes,
because
it did.
There are a lot of folks out there who need they need more options. They need to be able to vote early. They need to be able to drop it off in a drop box. Like, this is just helping keep our democratic processes in place. Although in this past week or two, I can see how democratic processes really just get in the way of power and you know, not wanting to leave your office. But this just doesn't. Also, the other question I have, Jane, didn't the Wisconsin Supreme Court say this year that drop boxes are fine? Talking to you, Doug Dinney in Wausau.
Yeah, I believe they did.
Yeah.
I believe the Wisconsin Supreme Court did decide that there was nothing evil about drop boxes because there's nothing evil about drop boxes.
So wouldn't we qualify this then? And this, I'm using technical parlance as an election in the election industry, wouldn't this be classified as beating a dead horse?
One could say that.
Cool. Just wanted to know. Great use of our tax dollars, folks.
Wisconsin Republicans set to propose sweeping changes to how ballot drop boxes are used and monitored in legislation they will introduce next week. Assembly Assistant Majority Leader Republican Scott Klug says he will detail this this coming Sunday on WISN's Upfront.
Great.
The bill will also allow election officials to start processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day. We've talked about this repeatedly. This measure has failed over and over and over again, and it has bipartisan support.
Yes, and it fails because it allows Republicans to complain about Madison, but more specifically Milwaukee.
Ballot dumps. Midnight ballot dumps.
Dumps of ballots. Because, you know, in a town with more than, you know, 50,000 people, and in the case of Milwaukee, 550,000+ people, it takes a little bit longer.
It does.
And will this portion pass? I don't know. What I've been hearing a lot, and the stories we talked about with regard to things coming out of the GOP in Wisconsin, they love to tell us this is what we're going to do. And then it's always followed with few details are known. So Klug is not giving us anything right now other than this. And he'll tell us more on Sunday. And we can follow up on Monday about this because I want to know. So you want to limit drop box usage, but then expand the ability to count ballots. When I say this, I'm not being snarky. I don't understand the logic of it all, but make it make sense, Scott Krug on up front.
Scott Krug.
Krug.
Told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the bills aimed at codifying new election practices will be released next week, including the measure giving poll workers more time to process mail-in ballots, again, which we have tried to get passed over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But it's a really handy thing for one side when the election isn't going their way to then be able to say, oh, but they dropped off all these ballots in the middle of the night. No one knows where they came from. They just came from the sky.
It makes you look kind of crazy. And, you know, at this point, we're at a place where no one really cares when they act crazy. We just sort of shrug our shoulders. We shrug our shoulders and we move on because we have lives. And that's kind of the dangerous part. But we do. We have lives. Even us who spend our time in the news, there are other things we have to talk about and look at, whereas other folks who have, like, jobs, kids, other responsibilities, they don't pay attention because it's not on their radar. So, and my point being is that last year, Brian Schimming and many of the GOP members nationwide and state said, bank your vote, vote early, bank your vote. And then Donald Trump was still saying absentee balloting, anything that's not traditional on the day in person is corrupt. And then finally he stopped saying it, and it worked for them. It works for everyone, period. And now we are 8, 9, almost 10 months. We're 9 months into the year, and we're back at this?
Yeah. The measures will include a ban on fixing errors on ballots called ballot curing, which has been happening for a long time. We'll also codify rules governing the use of ballot drop boxes. Another measure will change how many hours clerks have to be available for early voting based on population size. Smaller the population, the shorter the voting time period.
Ooh.
According to Krug, if there's a community that has less than 100 registered voters, they only have to do 5 hours in person during the 2 weeks before Election Day instead of 20 hours. One other measure, which I do agree with, would include grants to boost security measures for poll workers. Yeah, let's protect these people.
Let's also bolster just staff of these polling places, too.
So they continue and to work smoothly.
I mean, I don't know if it would still be happening now because Mark Zuckerberg is in his villains era, but he was providing grants to municipalities all over the state, all over the country.
The infamous Zuckerbucks.
Yeah, and those went away because, you know, the Republicans love democracy, so now we have to find it in other ways. And, okay, we're going to get... safety is important. I'm not against safety. I love safety, especially for poll workers. We need to take care of them, and we need to thank them. But we also need to give support in the way of funding to staff, to locations, to all the things they need just to make it easier for them, which makes it easier for us.
A spokesperson for Governor Evers says the Evers wants to sign into law a bill that allows poll workers to process ballots ahead of Election Day. Thank you. But will not support measures undermining and sowing distrust in existing election workers and practices. Not a surprise, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu did not immediately respond to questions about the chances of the new bill becoming law.
Oh, yes, of course. Because
he's the sticker.
He's the sticking point. A lot of times, yeah, he's the guy who's either not, he's the gentleman who doesn't even bring these votes up for a vote. Or I'm sorry, he doesn't bring these bills up for a vote. And in a couple of instances, he has said out loud, that's not my job. It's like, it's almost all of your job, sir.
Pretty much.
So on the live stream, a young person named This Chick Loves the Squad says, many people in Wisconsin work away from home. You need to vote at your town hall. By mail was the only way to vote for me.
Yep.
No way I was driving home to vote to go back to work. Yeah, exactly.
And I just think for elderly people.
Military people.
I mean, people with special needs, mm-hmm. all kinds of folks take advantage of drop boxes and voting by mail.
This is just a convenient alternative for everyone, not to mention, you know, the way they want. I mean, I'm going a little bit outside of the GOP of Wisconsin, but like the attitude now is just that, you know, you will vote on the day in person. That's it. Well, guess what? All your military don't get to vote. All those people who work out of the country don't get to vote. All those kids who are voting at home, even though they're out at school, don't get to vote. And that's exactly what you want. This is voter suppression and voter intimidation. So I'll be interested to see what he has to say on Upfront this Sunday, because, you know, I'm all about bolstering security and I'm all about opening them absentee ballots early to vote to count those votes. But this Dropbox whole, this whole Dropbox thing gives me the ick.
Stay with us when we return. That keyword, you want this keyword. It's keyword. Free Ticket Friday. Playing for a 4-pack of tickets. It's in Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats for next Friday's game against Cincinnati. Stay close. That's next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, is going to join us after the 9:30 news. Mm-hmm. Many, many things we will be recombobulating over.
There's so much recombobulation happening today. I can't even stand it.
So he'll be joining us in just a little bit. Right now, though, here's what you need to do. Grab your phone.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Open up the Civic Media app.
Done.
This is the only way to enter this contest via the Civic Media app.
Lay it on me.
Okay. Pick WAUK or whatever as your station.
Got it.
Text in the word.
Yes.
Gold. G-O-L-D.
Got it. Will do.
Gold.
Yeah.
You can't play. Greg. G-O-L-D. Gold is the word you want to text in right now via the Civic Media app. And that is going to get you in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets for next Friday when the Brewers host Cincinnati at AmFam Field. Text in the word gold. G-O-L-D. You have until 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Can only enter once.
Correct.
During our show.
Yeah.
But then you have another chance with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Then again with Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie from 4 to 6. Right now, though, till 11 o'clock, the word to text in is GOLD, G-O-L-D. Good luck.
And spelling counts.
It does count.
You might be
You'll get rejected. You'll get a rejection notice, I think, if you don't spell it right.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
G-O-L-D. Good luck. And if this isn't your thing, there is going to be another multi-state text to win contest coming very soon.
What?
So make sure you have the Civic Media app. It's free. Mm-hmm. You can get it wherever you get your apps. Text in the word GOLD.
Yeah.
G-O-L-D, just like Colleen from Richland Center.
Oh, they're coming in.
And Sean and Madison and Bob along Wisconsin's East Coast. Sharky and Racine and Caesar and Madison and Carla and Eagle River. I love it. Love to see the entries come in. Text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D.
Can I pose a question to Bob right now?
Sure.
Is Wisconsin's East Coast a thing I've just never heard of, or is that something he put in because he likes it? Because it seems official. Everybody else like, you got Richland Center, Madison, Milwaukee, Muskego. But Wisconsin's East Coast is something
like
I've never heard.
I like it.
And I'm wondering if that's maybe something in my southeastern Wisconsin bubble that I just didn't pay attention to.
Let us know, Bob, from Wisconsin's East Coast, if you'd like to clarify where that is. Satisfy our curiosity.
Yes.
Otherwise, the rest of you text in the word GOLD,
yeah.
G-O-L-D, again, to be in the running for that four-pack of tickets to see the crew host Cincinnati next Friday at AmFam Field. With the time we have left before the bottom of the hour, Superintendent of Schools Jill Underlie calls the Trump administration the biggest schoolyard bully that Wisconsin schools are facing.
Yeah.
State Superintendent Jill Underlie calling the Trump administration the big schoolyard bully. Her address yesterday, her first during her second term in office. Dr. Underlie says public education in Wisconsin isn't just a system. It's a living story written daily by the people who believe in its promise. And as we've learned, it seems like most of us love our public schools if it's our public school.
Yes.
If it's that other public school, not so much.
No, and I would say that Dr. Underlie is correct in her description as Donald Trump is the biggest schoolyard bully. I mean, he put Linda McMahon in charge of the Department of Education, but I would also say don't sleep on Robin Voss and his cohorts. They've done quite a bit to slowly choke the life out of public schools here in Wisconsin.
And it's very intentional.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Exactly. It's almost with there is a level of pride they take.
Glee,
because they think whenever they give them money, that's enough. And really, it's never enough. And looking back, her request for $4 billion, while seems crazy expensive, when you think about how long it's been underfunded, $4 billion for then and now would probably do the trick. And it will never happen.
Yeah. So thank you for that, Dr. Jill Underlie.
Thank you for
speaking out.
Yes.
Yep. And I'm sure we will be hearing more from her as well. Right now, though, the word to text in via the Civic Media app is GOLD, G-O-L-D. And Bob from Wisconsin East Coast is on the line with us. Good morning, Bob from the East Coast. How are you?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you?
We are great. So can you be a little more specific on what is Wisconsin's East Coast?
It's everything that's along the shoreline.
Everything.
That's a very large piece of property you have, Bob.
Well, I covered it. I started working in fundraising in 1977. I'm originally from a place called Sturgeon Bay.
Yeah.
In the fast foods industry, I worked in Milwaukee, Port Washington, and Kenosha.
All right.
There you go.
You're doing the stretch.
Yeah, I like the way you do that, Bob. That's how I feel. Like, I don't have, like, civic pride. Like, I'm from Waukesha. I lived in Milwaukee. But I lived in southeastern Wisconsin and all these counties. So I have, like, a southeastern and a Wisconsin pride. So I like the way you do that, Bob. I like your style.
Thank you for calling to clarify, Bob. We were just really curious about that.
I like how I asked.
He runs from Sturgeon Bay down to the state line, man.
It's like, what's Wisconsin's East Coast? the coast that's on the east. Yeah. I feel like, Bob, you were very nice in telling me. I feel like I've said everything I need to say.
We appreciate that,
Thank you, Bob.
Text in the word gold, by the way. You have until 11 o'clock via the Civic Media app, G-O-L-D, for that four-pack of club-level tickets for next Friday's game at MFM when the Brewers host Cincinnati. We have news coming up next, and we'll come back with Dan Schaefer. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Wayne Cabot.
I'm betting Charlie saw the Son of God standing tall to welcome him home.
Donald Trump Jr., before the tens of thousands filling the 67,000-seat State Farm Arena, the stadium where the Arizona Cardinals play, to honor murdered activist Charlie Kirk, Donald Trump himself is now speaking. Vice President J.D. Vance.
We have watched people justify his murder and celebrate his death. I know that this makes you angry just as it has made me angry. But it is easy in these moments to see only the worst of our fellow man.
Turning Point USA is registering voters at his memorial today in Arizona. Booths are set up with signs that read, "Charlie wants you to register to vote," as directed the crowd dressed in red, white, and blue. This is ABC News.
A busy sports weekend. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports reporting from Cleveland, where it's the Packers against the Browns. We'll have a full recap of the game coming up later tonight. In St. Louis, another dramatic win for the Brewers. They beat the Cardinals 3-2 in 10 innings. Bryce Turang, the hero in this one, driving in the winning run. Brewers catcher William Contreras had to leave the game after getting his hand hit by a bat while behind the plate. X-rays were taken. Manager Pat Murphy.
He was in my office already wanting to play tomorrow.
X-ray?
Yeah. X-ray was negative.
College football, the Badgers upset at their Big Ten home opener yesterday, 27-10 to Maryland. It got so bad, fans in Madison were booing head coach Luke Fickell, chanting "Fire Fickell."
Yeah, I feel what they, you know, I feel what their pain is, you know, but there's nothing that we can do other than keep grinding, keep working. We have to play better.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're like me, you never need to hear the word y'all ever again. It was a fun novelty as we indulged Southern culture in a show of unity. Those of you who do use or like the word will be happy to know there's a new holiday film called Deck the Y'alls. Sigh. Talk about shoehorning a word into a title. At least there's a good cast and an award-winning one at that. Variety reports that the film stars Jessica Chastain, Octavia Spencer, and Wanda Sykes. Chastain plays a New York City baker who falls for a Southern gent, now it all makes sense, and heads south to spend Christmas with his family, and it's going great until she meets the overprotective mom played by Spencer, who also happens to be a celebrity chef. Chastain and Spencer were both nominated for Oscars in the Best Supporting Actress category in 2012, with Spencer winning for her role in The Help. Chastain would later win an Oscar of her own in the same category for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Filming begins next year, y'all. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. We'll see a low around 59. On your Monday, we'll see some fog in the morning, then showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny by the afternoon with a high around 73. For Monday night, partly cloudy, 56. Tuesday, partly sunny, 73.
It's 73 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Van Orden, he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling. The more troubling tweets call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, if you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the one, the only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream, hello live stream.
Hi.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are in the midst of our final Free Ticket Friday, so grab your phone. Open up the Civic Media app, not you guys, and text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D. You have until 11 o'clock. You can't enter, Dan. You have until 11 o'clock to text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D, and get in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. These are really, really good seats. They are for next Friday's game when the Brewers host Cincinnati. So you have until 11 o'clock to text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D, just like Linda in Eau Claire and Peter in New London and Oscar in Madison and so many more. Text in the word GOLD. You have until 11 o'clock. Then Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 2. Todd with a different one from 2 to 4. And Maggie, again, from 4 to 6 p.m. But right now the word is GOLD. G-O-L-D. Make sure you enter, and good luck. Dan Schaefer is here. It's Friday. It's time for a little recombobulation from Civic Media's political editor and some movement now in the governor's race, Dan. A couple more hats in the ring.
It's been a little bit of a busy week here with some of the announcements that we've got going on governor's race.
Yeah.
Not just the governor's race, a few other announcements this week, and we can get into that too. There's 2026 outlook is heating up a little bit. But two candidates, both from Madison, each announced that they would be running for governor this week. So on Monday, Kel DeRoy, state senator, announced that she would be running for governor. And then I believe it was Wednesday that State Representative Francesca Hong announced that she would be running for governor. So, you know, last week we had David Crowley announced his candidacy. Mayor Cavalier Johnson got behind it. Last week was Milwaukee week.
Right.
And this week Madison week. And so, you know, we're making our way around the state with some of these announcements here. What'd you guys think of, you know, some of the announcement videos about how some of these landed? I guess let's start with Kel DeRoy's.
I mean, I everyone I've talked about Kelda is excited to see what she has to offer.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing that I think, well, I honestly think that Kel DeRoy's, Francesca Hong, and Sarah Rodriguez all have a similar quality of good energy.
Mm-hmm.
Kelda doesn't hold back. Neither does Francesca Hong.
That's mm-hmm. true.
So there, I think there was a lot of excitement to see both of these individuals jump in, because now it feels like there's going to be a discussion.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's going to be ideas. And everybody I know who loves Francesca Hong is really excited.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Kelda, I think that, you know, she has a little bit more work to do as far as getting her name out there. But I think that I was I'm happy they're both in it. I was unsure with Francesca just because I feel like sometimes her message could, I don't want to see people trying to label her as like some socialist commie and all of her.
But I think that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's part of the Democratic Socialist Caucus. Yes, exactly. So it's not like she's running from that either. Like, no. It's a voluntary choice that she made to be part of that caucus.
But Calvin, I'd like your take on this, because in talking to younger Democrats and younger leaning Democrats, I think they get tired of what they see are the regular old run of the, you know, middle of the road, let's all get along kind of Democrats. And Francesca is different. What do you think about the energy that she brings, Calvin?
I had this discussion with Greg off the air yesterday afternoon, and I'm not sure how I feel about the primary going forward. I like all of the candidates. Well, I'll save my thoughts for the fifth member of the field for
another day.
Not necessary. But yeah, I think it's torn between, do you vote for someone that you like and are confident they can win an election, or do you vote for someone that you like and think is more the direction you'd like to see the party move? And I think that's kind of the dichotomy of Kelda Royce and Francesca Hong for me. Is I think Kelda Royce has a better chance of winning the general election. But I think Francesca Hong's progressive policies have a potential to speak more to the younger people.
Yeah, and I think there is that, right, Calvin, there's this, I forget who said the quote, but it's just like this quote about primaries and elections, and it's just like, in a primary, vote your heart, in the general, vote your head. Vote who, you know, which candidate speaks to you most in a primary, but once you're in the general election, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It's just about who, you know, especially in the two-party system that we have, it's just like, you're making a different type of calculation with that. But yeah, I think that's interesting, and I do wonder if there's, you know, if there's a certain lane for a progressive candidate that had not yet been claimed, and that it can be claimed now by Representative Hong. But I do think, you know, and I wrote about this in a piece a few weeks ago, and I had, you know, kind of like the top contenders I had in the group, and Kelda Royce I had in that kind of top four potential contenders for governor. You know, of that, Josh Call has not yet announced, so we'll see what exactly he has in store for his plans for 2026, Attorney General Josh Call. But I think, you know, I think Francesca Hong would start outside of that group, outside of the group of top contenders. But one of the things about, you know, knowing Francesca Hong for a few years now is no one's going to outwork her on any of this. And, you know, she just announced yesterday, as she was, you know, at the second day of her campaign, that she's going to be going on this like statewide tour. And she had like a dozen different places that she's going to be over the next 2 weeks going to and speaking with people and rallying support in her state tour. And I think the fact that she is going to be coming out of the gate and working super hard, that's going to make everybody else in the primary kind of need to up their game.
Work that much harder.
I consider myself a political realist in a lot of ways. I don't think she has the, you know, best chance of winning this race. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't think she is one of the top, you know, most likely to win this race. But I think her entry to it is going to make everybody work that much harder. And I think that is definitely a good thing.
Tony in the live stream says, if only we had ranked choice voting, you could vote your values and then everyone wouldn't have to be a pundit.
Yeah.
There's that too.
There is. Yeah. Yep. But we are not there yet.
We are not.
And I think when it comes to what's interesting to me about Kelda and Fran, and I want to, and saying that, I want to tack on another question for you, Dan, regarding David Crowley, is that I feel like even though Fran has, like, she definitely has those progressive democratic socialist values that she is standing up for, and she will not back down on. And that's one of the things I love about her. Kelda too isn't like some centrist character. I mean, when she came on the show after the budget, we were kind of expecting a few days of you rah rah, we did it, and Kelda came on like, this is bad,
not good.
And both of us were like, oh, is it bad? I'm so sorry, because Tony Evers had proposed this budget being and Dianne Hesselbein, like, it was good to see the Democrats walk in and take some control, but at the end of the day, there were Democrats, including Francesca Hong and Kelda Royce, who were not pleased. So I do feel like where it, for going back to what Calvin says, if you're looking between those two, I feel like it is a good combination of your head and your heart. You can vote for one or the other and feel represented and or feel like you're going to be spoken for by one of those two. But I feel like the announcement from Kelda and from Francesca have kind of muted David Crowley's announcement. He came out and it happened and we knew it was going to happen because he said early he was going to announce and then he finally announced and I've seen things, but now we are focusing our attention on the two of them rather than David Crowley. And he's sort of just, that's not a bad thing. He's going to do great. He's a great campaigner, but I feel like he kind of lost some of the thunder because you had two candidates in very close amount of time come out and announce their running. And with Francesca, it was sort of like, yeah, but she did it. And with a really great video, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the video is good. If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. He joins us every Friday. And we are talking about the recent entries into the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin. Talking about David Crowley, I certainly think he might have a little bit better name recognition. He is Milwaukee County executive. He's had that role now for several years. But I also think he's in almost a tougher spot because he has to come forward and talk about all the wonderful things he's done for Milwaukee County.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that's going to be challenging.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Milwaukee candidates have a certain level of baggage to them, fair or unfair. I think mostly unfair. Mm-hmm. I think Crowley, in the 5 years that he has been at the helm in Milwaukee County, I think he's done a very good job. Like he was able to get the, you know, shared revenue thing and sales tax fix over the finish line. They've been able to, they have so many just like smart under the radar wins, but I just don't know how those, like, you know,
how to highlight
some of those types of things on in a statewide race. And I also wonder if, like, what is his name recognition outside of southeastern Wisconsin too? Because I think there is like this quality of he's well known here where we are in southeastern Wisconsin right now. I don't know how well known he is in the rest of the state.
Well, and one of the recent things I heard, and I can't remember where I heard this interview with him, but it's how do we address the needs of our, you know, it's like he asks all these right questions. I'm not hearing the answers for those questions. Mm-hmm. And as a candidate, you are there to provide the solutions for these things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that coming out and coming out with a lot of open-ended questions is necessarily the best campaign tactic.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, these are all valid concerns that people want addressed. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. There is
Be specific.
Got to be specific. And I think, you know, Crowley is kind of more of a governed by consensus type of leader as well. He's not just like everybody get here and listen to me type of person. He surrounds himself with really smart people and he's kind of like governs by consensus there. You know, he's been able to have a really good relationship with the Milwaukee County Board. That has not always been the case,
which is kind of astonishing, actually.
It is, actually, yeah. So I think he is not somebody who's going to just get out there and be like, hey, my way or the highway, I'm going to ruffle everybody's feathers. He takes a little bit of a different kind of approach. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that translates in a campaign sense, because it's not typically what you see in a campaign.
Well, and I think of all of the candidates thus far, and I don't mean to disrespect Mr. Strand, but I'm going to, you know, we got these people who have been in public office. David Crowley is the one with the most experience of running a thing. Like, you have
representative experience.
Exactly. Yes. Executive experience. And on top of that, too, and I've said this before and I'm going to keep saying, I think one of his biggest strengths is that man had to convince the county of Milwaukee. And now, granted, you can say Chris Abley was behind him, and that does mean a lot. But people's reservations, whether it's racism or his location, whatever it was, he convinced the people of Milwaukee County that he was the best choice for their executive. And I think that, on top of the fact that he has executive experience, goes a long way for him. And he is, I think, of all of them personally, of the ones that I have met, he's the best at campaigning and governing in the state. Some people are blessed with one and not the other. And he is blessed with both. He can walk into a room and start the conversation. But then as far as like talking about the wins, I think what you do is you get to the granular level and say, here are the things we need to work on. What is concerning you? Great. I have an answer. Let's talk about it.
And that's what we need. Yeah, that's what we need. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Our conversation continues. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. It's time.
it's times like these.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. Ruby's Pantry distributes the second Saturday of each month. And you can check out the schedule at rubyspantry.org. That's rubyspantry.org. Ruby's Pantry, the second Saturday of each month from 7:30 to 9 a.m. And they do that at SMC Limited on Griffin Street in Avery. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Back of Greg Bach.
Wow. Well, guys, it's been fun.
I think we need to recombobulate.
Resident young person Calvin on the board coming to you live from
Calvin.
Our home. Calvin coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, our final Free Ticket Friday is underway. You have until 11 o'clock to text in the word via the Civic Media app only. Text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D. GOLD is the word for right now until 11 o'clock. Text in the word GOLD on the app, and you will be in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Really good seats for next Friday's game at AmFam Field when the Crew host Cincinnati. So text in the word GOLD, G-O-L-D. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you at 11 o'clock from 11 to 2. Then Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn 4 to 6. Right now, though, the word is gold, G-O-L-D. It's Friday. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. And before the break, we were talking about the gubernatorial race in Wisconsin. So we talked a lot about all the Democrats that are running. And now we have an announcement.
We have an announcement about an announcement.
Yes.
It's like a turducken of,
of
announcements and press releases and all of that. Yeah. So the Wisconsin College Republicans yesterday on their Twitter account put out a flyer that said, announcement, Congressman Tom Tiffany is holding a very special event in Wausau on September 24th. Everyone is welcome. This looks like a gubernatorial announcement.
Pretty much.
This looks like, I mean, he's been acting like he's running for governor for the past couple months here. He was all over the place at Wisconsin State Fair.
He's been raising
his profile. He's been talking about, in conservative media, he's been talking more about state-related issues on social media. It has seemed like he's been running for the last couple months. Maybe next week is when he finally makes it official. I think he had hinted at the fact that he was wanting to announce a run before the end of, or make his decision before the end of September. It sure seems like his decision is going to be that he's going to run.
I think that's a pretty fair bet.
I would say this is a Tom Duncan happening this next week. Also, I just want to go with the fact that he took a picture of himself holding a fish so he could put it out there because someone said, I believe anyone running for governor should have to take a picture to show us how you can, if you can hold a fish correctly. And he did, thus giving us another candidate running for an office in Wisconsin where a lake was involved.
Well, that obviously, yeah. You know, Eric Hovde set the standard.
Yeah.
He set the standard.
You've got to check those most important boxes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You
know,
just need hatchet throwing and he'll be in the top five. Yeah. I can see Tom Tiffany trying to sell himself as the next Tommy Thompson. Kind of a, you know, moderate, not a screamer.
Mm-hmm. But can you do that with Trump's endorsement? That's what he needs to. He needs that.
Well, but he can get the endorsement without having to take it to the next level.
Yeah, he is no moderate, though, by any stretch of the
imagination. Oh, I'm not saying that he is, but he can try and sell himself that way.
Yeah, do you think it's more likely that he would sell himself that way, or if he sells himself as, hey, I'm the true conservative here, I'm a Trump supporter, MAGA supporter, I'm going to be your fighter in the state to try and stop Wisconsin from becoming California or Illinois or whatever these
Minnesota things, you know? who's the target lately.
So I think he is more of kind of just like the conservative firebrand type of guy. I think it would certainly represent a big shift for kind of like where the center of power is for Republican politics in Wisconsin, because for forever it has been the Wow counties. It has been Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties. And I think we've seen so many candidates from there over the years. Even this year with Brad Schimmel, and Scott Walker ran up huge numbers in Waukesha County when he was running. I think this if Tom Tiffany were to run and to be the nominee, I think it would really represent a shift in where the center of power is for Republican politics, because I think it would shift to the north. It would shift to the Northwoods or just kind of northwestern Wisconsin more broadly. Tiffany would, I think, really struggle with crossover appeal in some of those Wow counties that have been trending more purple, in mm-hmm. Waukesha and Ozaukee in particular. But he might run up bigger numbers in more rural areas in his own, you know, 7th congressional district. So, there's a trade-off to be considered there for him, too.
Well, we'll find out more next Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's going to be making his announcement in Wausau. I'm just curious, is there a public works project that was funded by the Biden administration that Tom Tiffany can go stand next to and claim credit for while he's in Wausau?
He's done that before.
He's done it with the Blotnick Bridge. I just thought maybe there's something in Wausau he could try and tag his name onto he's there.
We'll have to see if there are any Biden infrastructure law signs that he'll have to avoid when he's in Wausau or something like that.
I see what you're doing. That was sarcasm. I got you. Okay, cool. I would love to ask the question of Republicans in Wisconsin. What do you think? Because you're the ones who will be deciding who wins this primary. Do you want to go with this name or do you want to go with someone new? Because it's going to be granted, if we don't get a billionaire guy like a Hovde or a Tim Michaels coming into it, who are the people that Republicans want to represent them in Wisconsin? Is it going to be the Tom Tiffany or is it going to be more unknown. I'd love to hear from Republicans on this. What is your thoughts? Are you going to vote for this guy, or who's catching your fancy?
It's not a deep bench. And we ran a piece on this at the Recombobulation Era earlier this year from a contributor, Josh Clemens. He talked about how gerrymandering has hurt the Republicans' bench because they have not had the candidates who've actually had to compete.
Oh, you mean voters. Actually run?
Yeah.
Oh,
and actually run and compete for voters in tough districts. They don't have tested candidates who are ready for a statewide run.
We have news coming up next. Dan Schaefer will be here. We will continue to recombobulate, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Wayne Cabot.
I know I speak for everyone here today when I say that none of us will ever forget Charlie Kirk, and neither now will history.
President Trump, final speaker at the public tribute to the murdered activist Charlie Kirk. There was a hush in the 67,000-seat State Farm Arena where the Arizona Cardinals play for Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica. She'll be taking over for her husband at Turning Point USA. She said that she opposes the death penalty for her husband's accused killer.
That man, that young man, I forgive him.
Erica Kirk has called her husband's killing God's plan. She also put booths with Turning Point USA, hoping to register voters. This is ABC News.